sure, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, our lowly body, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body.
Thanks, Mom. Hi, everyone. So Mon actually gave me the heads up that the kids, it's school holidays, and so she wanted a short talk. But it's not just for the kids. Who doesn't love a short talk, I reckon? Like, we're all into that. We're jumping back into the book of Philippians, and remember that the Apostle Paul started off this book. He said, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out into the day of Christ's return. And so the book of Philippians is this beautiful book of joyful partnership around Jesus. And that's what we're going to continue to look at today. We're going to look at 3 points. We're going to look at being imitators. We're going to look at bad examples. And then we're going to think about what does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? So imitators, bad examples, and citizens of heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but when I listen to a talk, I don't remember much of that talk, which is really depressing for a preacher. But I try to think, what is the one thing that God is actually saying to me? It can be encouraging, it could be challenging, it could be a question, it could be something I disagree with, but something that actually I can go away and apply to my life. So church often isn't about coming and making big steps in faith. Church is often about just coming and learning little things about yourself, about God and the world in which we live in. But if we keep on taking small steps after small steps after small steps, we cover a lot of ground in our faith. Yep. So at the end of my talk, I'm going to ask you to turn to the person next to you. You don't have to share in heaps depth, but actually just share what is the one thing God spoke to you about today. Got that? All right, let me pray and we'll jump into today's passage. Let me pray. Loving God and Heavenly Father, I thank you for this community of faith. God, I thank you for all the good things that are happening in this community. As we've heard about the youth just being on Soul Survivor last week and you impacting their lives and encouraging them about Jesus. And we pray for them as they head to Queensland this weekend. We pray for ourselves now that you'll just quieten our hearts and quiet our minds so that we can focus on this passage together and that your spirit will somehow just elevate our thoughts and so we can think about Jesus more clearly and so that we can live for him more effectively come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So firstly, we are to be imitators. We're natural born imitators. In a past life, I was a pastor for about 30 years. And so my kids grew up in a family where I was the pastor and they were all a little bit weird because they all played church. So my son, who's the eldest, started this tradition off in the Duncan family. He would get his two sisters and the teddy bears together and they would do church. Like they would sing songs, they would give it announcements, they would take up the offering. I don't know what Liam did with the offering from his sisters. It would come time to the sermon and Liam would go, blah, 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 because that's what he thought about his dad's talk. But what were they doing? They were imitating their old man. We are natural-born imitators. And that's what the Apostle Paul says to do here. In verse 17, he says, join together in following my examples, brothers and sisters, just as you have us as models, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. And this is actually a common theme for Paul. So Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, actually become a follower of me. And then at the end of this book, he says, whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Now, Paul actually isn't being arrogant. He's not being boastful. He's not saying imitate everything about me. He's just saying whatever you see about Jesus in me, imitate that. And Paul gives us two examples. Paul gives us the example of Timothy and Epaphroditus. In chapter 2, he says, look at Timothy. There's nobody else like him. I trust him completely. His faithfulness, his godliness, his commitment to the scriptures, his care for the least and the poor. Follow his example. And there's Epaphroditus, who actually came from Philippi. He's the guy who came with the gift of offering from money to the Apostle Paul, but he stays with Paul in prison to the point that he gets sick and he almost dies, but he won't leave Paul's side. And he says, think about Epaphroditus. Model your life upon him. We are natural-born imitators. So some of you might be here this afternoon and you really struggle with prayer. That's okay. Find somebody who's actually really good at prayer and saying, will you actually teach me to pray? Some of you actually might really struggle reading the Bible. That's okay as well too. Just find somebody who loves the scriptures and say, would you actually teach me to actually read the scriptures? When our kids were little, we had this family, the Cleesbys, Paul and Carol. Carol helped with the children's ministry here for a little while. And so they became sort of models, people that we could actually imitate in family life and in parenting. Their kids were a little bit older, but they were doing a great job of actually parenting their kids, of actually modeling Jesus to their kids. And so we learnt a lot from Paul and Carol. Would hit a tricky spot in parenting and would go to Paul and Carol and say, well, what did you do with your kids here? Or did you actually come across this issue? And we didn't follow all their advice. So my youngest daughter, Abby, recently was staying overnight with Paul and Carol. And Paul gave Abby some dating advice. And I said to Abby, I said, what did Paul say? And she told me, and I said, don't do any of that. Don't follow that. But there's a lot in Paul and Carol that we could actually imitate. I'm incredibly thankful that my kids have actually grown up in two churches where they've had a whole bunch of spiritual aunties and uncles, Sunday school teachers, youth group leaders, people who are a little bit older, parents and stuff like that, inputting into their lives. And that is actually the beauty of church, is it not? And when it comes to imitating, it's not just actually imitating people who are older than us. Often people who are younger than us have much to teach us about Jesus as well. Our children, our youth, our young adults. Again, I'm going to have a proud moment, Dad, and talk about my kids. I've got three kids. And now they teach me so much about Jesus. My eldest son, Liam, he's really into, those spiritual disciplines by John Mark Comer. He just doesn't read about them. He actually implements them in his life. He's got a heart for kids who don't kind of fit into school or don't fit into church life. And he gets alongside of these young men and he mentors them and he loves them. And I look at his life and I think, that's amazing. I can be encouraged and learn so much from him. I'll embarrass Jess, but I live with Jess. And a heart for the young people of this church and the young people of this community and a prayer life. And just how she actually comes alongside of these kids and wants them to come and know and follow Jesus. I'm inspired by that. I was on the plane home last night coming back from WA. My youngest daughter went to the Christian Service National Conference and she was on a phone making notes. And I said, what are you doing? And she was making notes of all the things she actually learnt at that camp and the difference that was going to make into her life. And I thought, what an encouragement that was to me. I was on my phone watching Peaky Blinders. And my youngest daughter is thinking, how do I live for Jesus in this world? So become natural-born imitators. The second part is actually there are some people that aren't worth following. And this is a hard saying. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before and now tell you again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Now, what do we do with a passage like that? Todd and I, we've known one another for a long time. In our previous church, I was the senior pastor there, and I would give the passages to Todd for him to preach on, and I always give him really nice and easy passages to preach on, but this is the passage that he gave me. What do you do with words like that? Well, let's be honest, we're probably not going to make them into memory verses, are we? We're not going to print them out and put it on our fridge. We're not going to actually get a tattoo of these verses. But what do we actually do with hard words like this from the Bible? Well, one thing we can't do, we can't just jump over them. We can't just pretend that they're not there. We can't just skip them. If God is actually going to be God, we need to actually understand his mind on everything in life, including in passages like this. We have to allow these verses to argue with us, and we can actually argue with them, tease them out. So what is actually going on? What is actually God saying to us in this passage? What do we do with verses like this? Well, this is what I do. I come to a verse, verses like this, and understand that the Bible isn't flat, that there are peaks and valleys. There are really weighty sections of the Bible, and there's less weighty sections of the Bible, and that all of Scripture needs to be interpreted through Jesus. So for me, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the interpretive texts for the entire Bible. And so when we come to passages like this, we kind of have to filter it through the life of Jesus. Secondly, we have to actually understand that this was actually written to people 2,000 years ago in a different culture, in a different language, and we need to ask the question, how would they have heard these words? Maybe it wasn't quite as offensive to them as it is to us. I was in Xining, China, which is way up west in China, near the Mongolian plains, and we were just walking along, and there was a group of people who, to me, were speaking really harshly to one another. It looked like they were having an argument with one another. I couldn't speak Mandarin or Cantonese, but the person I was walking with could. And I said, what is going on here? Are they arguing? Are they fighting? And so he listened to them. He says, no, they're just actually talking about their day. To me, their words sounded really harsh and offensive, but to them it was just kind of normal. And maybe that's the case here. So who is Paul speaking to? Some commentators think that he's speaking to Judaizers. Remember, Todd told us about that in the previous talk. These are followers of Jesus who come from a Jewish background, and they say to be a follower of Christ, you first have to actually become a Jew with all of its laws. But that actually doesn't seem to fit this text. This text seems to be to people who are actually rejecting the law of Christ. They accept the grace of Jesus without the teachings of Jesus. These people seem to be saying that there is no right or wrong, there is no good or bad. Paul says their God is their stomach. Whatever they desire, they do. Their glory is their shame. They celebrate behavior that is clearly against God's word. Their mind is set on earthly things. Life is all about me, mine, here and now. And Paul says that these people are enemies of the cross. Remember Philippians chapter 2, the model of Jesus that we have before us? That Jesus left heaven, became one of us, took on the nature of a slave or of a servant, died on the cross, and then God rose him up to give him the name that is above all other names, and that this pattern of living, of loving others, a pattern of humility, a pattern of serving others, should be the pattern of our life as well too. These people go to church every Sunday. These are people that Paul knows. These are people that Paul loves. These are people that Paul actually cares about. But they're not living a life that is worthy of the life of Jesus. And so what do we do with that? Well, we just have to actually sit with that for a little while. And we have to actually ask the question, is that actually true of me? Am I really allowing Jesus' life and his teaching and his death and his resurrection to be the authority and the guiding truth over my life? And then finally, the Apostle Paul says we are to be citizens of heaven. Now remember that Philippi was a Roman colony in Macedonia. And what would actually happen is that you'd have all these retiree Roman soldiers, and they were given land and they were given houses in Philippi, and they were to be the ambassadors of Rome. And so these guys were fully dialed into the Roman Empire. They loved Rome. They loved Caesar. Their whole life was actually guided by the values and the power of Rome. This language of Savior is the language of Caesar, that Caesar is the ultimate one who can actually save you. And so here they are on the edge of the Roman Empire. They're Roman citizens and they're proud Roman citizens. But then Paul actually flips it. He says, as followers of Jesus, your true citizenship is no longer to the Roman Empire. It is to Jesus and his kingdom. The citizen of heaven or citizen of kingdom of God, they're two interchangeable ideas. It simply means that the kingdom of heaven isn't a place that you can jump on a plane and go to. The citizen of heaven exists wherever people acknowledge Jesus to be king and Lord over their lives. And so here we are on the beaches in the northern suburbs of Sydney. Some of our passports are for Australians. Some of our passports are from some other part in the world. But our ultimate citizenship is to Jesus and his kingdom. And it is Jesus' values that we have to live for. I was trying to think, what does it actually mean to live in the citizen of heaven? What does it mean to belong to the kingdom of God? And so I just really quickly want to give you a 30,000-foot overview of what it actually means, the values of actually belonging to Jesus and his kingdom. So if you can, just stand up for me for a little while. Stand up. So we're going to climb to 30,000 feet. So start climbing. Okay, we're at 10,000 feet. Start puffing a little bit. Keep climbing, keep climbing. We're at 20,000 feet. Keep climbing, puffing a little bit more. We're at 30,000 feet. Some of you start passing out. Yeah, you can do that. Sit down. Okay. Well done. You haven't passed out, no. A 30,000-foot overview of what it means to belong to the citizen of heaven. Now, there's one word in the New Testament. It only appears twice. If I was going to get a tattoo, it would be of this word. I'm not cool enough to get a tattoo. I'm too old to get a tattoo. I won't get it. And I'll probably spell it wrong as well too. But the word is palingenesia. The word palingenesia means rebirth or renewal. It's only mentioned twice. So in the book of Titus, it says when a person actually comes to faith, the Spirit of God actually enters into their life and there is what? There is palingenesia. There is renewal. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness begins to bubble up in our lives. And then in Matthew chapter 28, it says that when the Son of Man returns, he will palingenesia, he will actually renew all things. So God is not just into renewing people, God is into renewing all of creation. And so to be people of the kingdom of heaven or to be people of the kingdom of God actually means to be a people of renewal. We're about renewal for people's lives, but we're about renewal for all of creation. So that's why we get involved in our local schools, because we want to see palingenesia, don't we? We want to see these kids' lives and the teachers' lives and that community be renewed. in your neighbourhoods, in your workplace, amongst your friendship groups. We want to see Palaegenesia being renewed. But I don't know about you. Sometimes, and I'll finish with this point, sometimes I find it hard to believe in this idea that Jesus is renewing all people and one day he will renew all things. Sometimes I can kind of get discouraged that the people that I love and care for, the people that I'm really invested in, sometimes they seem to have very little concern or very little interest in Jesus. Sometimes the world in which we live in can be a kind of a dark and broken place. If you're really into the environment, it's not a great time to be alive because our governments don't seem to be that concerned for the environment right at this point, do they? If you're really into social justice and foreign aid, again, it can actually be a really discouraging time to be alive because, again, our world and our government don't seem to be all that concerned with those issues at this point in history. But allow me to introduce to you to one final title about Jesus. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, Jesus says, "I'm the root and the offspring of David. I'm the bright morning star." The bright morning star was the Venus Saturn. And for the ancients, it was an incredible, important star because it was the first star that they would see in the morning. They would see this star before the sun would actually come up over the horizon. When the night was at its darkest, when the night seemed to just go on and on and on forever, when they were cold and when they were fearful, they would see this morning star, and this morning star was a promise that a new day was coming, that the sun was coming up over the horizon, and that the darkness couldn't actually stand in its way, and the sun would actually push out this darkness, and a new day would arrive. Jesus is the bright morning star. And his promise is Palaegenesia. His promise is that he's renewing your life. He's renewing the lives of the people that we love and we care for. And he's renewing this world. I watch, my favourite team is Hawthorn. But I never, ever watch their games live because it's just too stressful. Who wants to put themselves through that? And so after their game, I check my phone, and if they've won, I jump onto KO, which my son actually, he owns a sort of a subscription to KO, and then I'll watch KO in great peace and great joy. And Hawthorn can be down by 30 points in the last quarter. They can be playing terribly. They can be kicking the ball out of bounds on the full, missing goals. And I think, are they going to lose? And I check my phone and no. I know the end score and I know that they're going to win. So I can open another packet of chips and I can open another beer and I can sit on my couch with great joy and confidence knowing that I'm on the winning side. Friend, that's actually probably a really poor example. But that's actually how we can live in this world. We can actually get upset. We can mourn. We can be discouraged at times by what's going on in our lives and what's going on in the world. But we belong to Jesus and his kingdom. He is the morning star. A new day is dawning and we belong to him. So we can step out into this world with joy and confidence, knowing that he will one day renew all things. Amen? Amen. Let me pray. Our loving God and Heavenly Father, whatever is actually helpful, whatever is truthful, I pray that these things will actually sit down into our minds and our hearts, and that our faith I might just actually be a little bit renewed in your son, Jesus, this afternoon. I pray this in his mighty name. Amen. So just turn to the person next to you and say, what is one thing that encouraged you, discouraged you, something you didn't understand or disagreed with, something that you actually want to take home and apply to your life this week?